Scott and Todd, September 17th, 2020.
Peaking the levels.
Blowing out all the levels, not giving up. Coming to you on a...
Hold on. Before we get started. I actually listened to some of our last show.
Did you now?
Last time.
Why was that?
I don't know. I was in the car with my daughter, and...
She said, what did you guys talk about on the pod last night, Dad?
No, I think it did come up, though. I don't remember why. For some reason, we were talking about something, and I was like, oh, I talked to your Uncle Scott about that. And then we listened to some of it, but I don't think we... I don't remember why we listened to it, but... all I thought was my microphone did not sound very good, but...
Yeah, that's generally the case.
And it might sound worse of advice, this week because I'm...
It probably will.
Recording from my phone.
Don't let the cat out of the bag. We'll talk about that momentarily. Word of advice for everyone, including Todd, co-host of the BroPod with Scott and Todd. Don't play this show for your under 10 years old daughter. I don't know which one it was.
It was the elder. She's 9.
Okay.
Fair enough. We didn't talk about anything that
was it the pool chat that she was asking
salty language, I'm sure, but
100% there was salty language.
Way worse from her mother, so I'm not too worried about that.
I don't doubt that at all. I know that to be true. I've seen it with my own eyes, but that doesn't make it right, is my point. Thursday night, September 17th, 2020 here. Thursday.
Heater up
2-0. Look at the playoffs.
Wild card? I can't remember now.
I don't remember. I didn't go back and listen. I think you had the Heat. I'm going to give you credit. I think you had the Heat. I had the Raptors, so I'm out. I also obviously had the Lakers. I think you had the Clippers, so you're out in the West. So we're kind of drawing even here. We both have a chance to get one of our two contenders into the finales. But anyway, we'll talk about basketball later in the show. I wanted to start with an update on your situation. Now, as you mentioned, you listened to the show for the first time ever.
I didn't listen to the whole thing. I listened to like 15
I know.
Minutes.
No, I know that. I know that for a fact. Clearly, you're not gonna commit 80 minutes of your time to listening to your own voice. I'm surprised you made it 15 minutes, honestly. You said that was in the car?
Yes, I was taking her somewhere.
I feel like the phonics of a podcast in a car, which I rarely have the opportunity to listen to, they sound a lot better. So I think if you're ever going to listen to the show, you better do it in the car, because that's going to be the best spot
the
to do
phonics?
It.
Phonics?
Yes.
I don't think that's the word you want to use.
All right, the phonetics. No, I think the audio sounds better if you're listening in a car, just because
the
speakers
play. Waveforms?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the MIDI files.
The audio quality is better in the car.
Let's get an update. There is a gnat in this office, and if I don't kill it, it's going to drive me fucking crazy. So I'm going to blow on the mic here for a second.
Probably
didn't kill it. Those gnats. Anyway, so let's get an update. What have you been doing? You've been free of your 9-to-5 for a week now? 8 days? Something like that?
A week.
So what's been happening? Give us the update. What's your day-to-day life like? Have you had any success in your job search? What's haps? What's the haps?
I've applied to a lot of jobs, maybe not a lot. I've applied to about 8 to 10 jobs.
Okay, it's one a day. It's good.
It hasn't been one a day, but yes.
I understand. Six in one day and two in the other days.
Been networking. Our severance package included career counseling, so I signed up for that today. I am not optimistic about it, to be honest. Like, they have people that talk to you, but excuse me, I don't have my cough button this week, so you may hear me burp or cough or
here we go. Love it.
They ask you to submit your resume, and then they have their resume professionals read through it. And I'm like, I don't know. In the design world, like, your resume
means nothing.
Is important as a record of like that you have been employed, but like, it's all about your portfolio. So I was like,
of course,
you can probably make my resume better, and I'm sure you can make my LinkedIn profile better, which might get me some eyeballs, but that's not going to get me the job. I mean, I think most places, even like, your resume is just kind of like
gets you in the door.
It's almost like to fool the bots into getting you an interview or whatever. if it's like a large.
It's a minimum qualification. It's a minimum qualification deterrent. That's all it is. If you don't have the minimum qualification,
have you worked the 10, 40, 8, whatever number of years that you say you have worked at said job?
10, 48. That's a long time. No, I know what you're saying.
But so yeah, I'm interested to see what they have to say. I guess
so,
I don't know.
I'm
approaching it the wrong way. I'm like, they're gonna tell me to do this stuff and it's gonna be bullshit, but I'm sure it'll be good. So I don't know. Part of me is like super negative about it, and part of me is trying to be optimistic about it.
So it's interesting. I'm looking at your LinkedIn now because you mentioned it, and I'm linked with you or whatever the term is, but I don't think I've ever looked at this, if I'm being honest.
We're connected.
It's got your work experience going all the way back to 2001, probably a bit excessive. It's got your education. It's got a couple of endorsements on various skills that you have, and it shows your interest. All design related, all work related. I don't understand what more people can do on sites like LinkedIn. Like, do you have to put nudes up? Like, what is it? What are you going to do that's going to draw more attention to your profile?
I think it's all about like the headline, and like people like craft a little story. Like, I'm a change agent in the future of blah blah blah.
Yeah, they bullshit.
Like all that kind of catchy. That's the thing that I'm like, if they want to change that stuff, I'm going to be like, this is fucking ridiculous to me. But
yeah,
sure, maybe it helps. I don't know.
Okay,
every recruiter that I've ever worked with, and they're all wonderful, they never pay any attention to like resume. Like, they're like, send me your work, and I send it to them. They're like, this is great. Without doubt, if the work's terrible or awesome, I think they're like, this looks great.
Of course, they're optimistic.
Yeah, and then they're like, so are you, like, the job is piloting a submarine. Are you good with that? And I'm like, what? What in my work experience, like, obviously
you're like
a made up thing, makes you think that I'm at all qualified for this position you're giving me that's sort of related to what I do, summary not being a real one, but like, I don't know. I get frustrated with those people. Cause I'm like, I know you're probably handling like
a ton,
hundreds of people, but like, if you could spend like 5 to 10 minutes, you'd see like this is not even close to what I do. Or
so, for the record, first of all, I'm almost positive it's you captain a submarine, you don't pilot it, but that's neither here nor there. Let me read the about on your LinkedIn, okay? Because I agree with you in what you're saying. Yes, they can spruce this up a little bit. Here it is. It's less than one full line. The width of your standard LinkedIn page. It simply says, creative director and designer creating retail experiences to engage and inspire. I mean, it's a good 8-second quip about what you do, but I agree. There are probably things that you could include to, you know, kind of spice it up a little bit. You're not catching anyone's eye with that. Does it describe what you do and have done for the past 10, 20 years? Probably. But is it much more than that? I don't think it is. What are you looking at? Because all I can see is your fucking fingers right in front of the screen.
I'm trying to see something. What the proper word for driving a submarine is. I think it is piloting a submarine. I don't know.
I'm going to go with captain as the verb, captaining a submarine.
No one fucking says that, though.
Do you? Yeah, sure you do. You don't drive it. And the person in charge of it is a captain.
Oh, this person with 16 upvotes and whatever this thing is, 16 being the highest number, suggested a pilot.
Is the person on YouTube?
Submarine. That's from Beyond the Teal.
Beyond the Teal. Okay.
English. All right. So stackexchange.com.
Super reliable source has confirmed that it is in fact piloting.
Someone else suggested drive or control.
Okay.
I don't know. Driving the submarine doesn't work for me.
By the way, fun fact that you might not know. Captain Submarine is a Canadian sub sandwich chain that's been around since 1972. So, just saying.
So, well, just as a quick aside, Do we What's your favorite sub place? Chain.
God damn! Hang on.
What's that?
We just passed the 10-minute mark. Straight into food chat. Like, could not hold back anymore. I give a slight opening, and Todd just dives in mouth first. What is my favorite sub chain? So, God, I feel like we've talked about this probably multiple times in this podcast.
We probably have. Calm the fuck down for a second. There's a book called How to Pilot a Submarine, the Second World War Manual. A fascinating insight into the life of a submariner.
Or a submariner. Any jargon perhaps. Older than 50 years, submariner for sure. Any jargon over 50 years old doesn't count. So if it's World War II, that ship has sailed.
I mean, this book came out in 2014. So piloting a submarine, point Todd, boom. What's your favorite hoagie restaurant?
Hoagie. So if the options are essentially Subway, Quiznos, Jersey Mike's, Firehouse Subs, what am I missing?
Isn't there like a fire? Wait, you said that one.
Firehouse? I literally just said that.
Yeah. Feeling Freaky? What's that one called?
Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's. Right. Yeah. So we'll use those six. Potbelly Deli is also good. You don't have to get a sub there, though. But fair enough. We can include Potbelly. It's fine. They're not going to make my top three. Although I do like Potbelly Deli.
They're a sandwicher.
I think I'd have to go with Firehouse. There's a Firehouse about a mile from here. And if it wasn't for COVID, I'd go there every weekend.
Like wholly based on proximity or primarily based on proximity.
I don't think so. Like, for example,
not entirely. Like, if one was like super shitty,
yeah,
I think it would still sink to the bottom. But if like,
no pun intended,
I think when my first job in Portland, I worked at an architecture firm, and it was a neighborhood, and there were like basically five or six restaurants that we ate at every week. There was
Architropolis,
Philadelphia's, yeah,
yeah.
There was a taco place, which I can't remember the name of.
Taco Bonita?
Actually, two taco places, one that was really good and one that wasn't so good.
Okay, as happens.
I'm trying to think. There was like a couple – there's like a sports bar called the Skybox. And like – so the sub place – or it was a cheesesteak place called Philadelphia's
place.
That we called Philly's.
Yeah.
Became one of my favorite restaurants in Portland. And I think they make good subs. Their bread is delicious.
Bro, it's all about the bread. Come on. That's a given. Everybody knows that.
I think one of the – and actually the good taco place became one of my favorites too because I locked in on something that I really liked and I ate it all the time and I never got tired of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was like their veggie burrito. I was like, it's perfect. I put some tapatio on there and it's just like the perfect mix. Mm. Of ingredients, and it became my favorite burrito. And I don't know if it's because it was the best or because I just sort of like acclimated my taste buds to it.
But see, here's the counterpoint to that counterpoint here on Bro Pops Got Done. Crossfire. Because I've talked about it many, many times on this show and just in life. Back when I was going to the office every day or every week, there's a Subway in my building. Literally in the same structure that I worked in. And so every Thursday, like 50 times a year, I would go to Subway. However, I acknowledge that Subway subs compared to some of those other places are definitely inferior. I know that. It was just convenient and cheap. And it was a nice break from the peanut butter and jelly sandwich that I would normally bring. So every Thursday I went to Subway. And that's just kind of
what I mean. I wonder if there's like a threshold. Like if there's a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 100 where like if a restaurant's above 55 or 60 on the 1 to 100 scale and you eat it all the time, does it get bumped up to like an 85 versus like a Subway is maybe at like a 45. So it doesn't matter how many times you eat it. It's never going to be like top three. I don't know. That's just a theory that I'm playing out
that's
in my mind.
Ridiculous.
And there's no way to prove or disprove it. So
no, there isn't.
It's definitely fact.
I would never dare to dream to put a 100-point scale on fucking sandwich shops and where they rank. But but no, I mean, the reality is sometimes, again, even since COVID, we've been to Subway you know, the wife and I have been to Subway a couple times just because sometimes I just kind of want a Subway sandwich.
Oh, wait, you're taking the wife to Subway?
You know, date night. I like to splurge. No, it's just like we decide.
You alternate between McDonald's and Subway.
No, I would not. No, I don't eat McDonald's. McDonald's breakfast is fine. She likes McDonald's. I do not. But no, it's just like sometimes you just – that's just kind of what you're in the mood for. And it's funny. I thought about this and sorry to momentarily steer us away from food chat. But I feel like the biggest arguments or disagreements – that she and I ever get in, and it's never really an argument because we're normally having these conversations while hungry, so we eventually will reach the decision. But it's just the conversation of what do you want to eat? Like Saturday for lunch, you know, what do you want? There's, I mean, technically there's, you know, 3 dozen options, but we have our favorites that we kind of cycle through. So there's maybe a half dozen that we have to choose from, but even within those half dozen, it's like we cannot
decide. There's only 3 dozen options of food to eat?
I mean, within reason that we would get like for a quick gotcha. Pickup on a Saturday. But basically, as meat eaters, both of us, it's like, do we want burgers? Do we want tacos? Do we want chicken? Do we want a sandwich? That's about pizza. It. Like, those are the choices. We wouldn't get pizza midday. We get pizza for dinner.
Okay.
We had pizza for dinner tonight, but we wouldn't go pizza midday. I mean, that's pretty rare.
I'd vote for both, but sure.
Of course you would. Well, no, trust me. That's kind of become a new Sunday night thing. If we don't have anything else, like I go to the grocery store most Sunday nights and I'll pick up a California Dream and makes a barbecue chicken pizza. Primo, top shelf.
It's their signature
flavor. Dish. That's right. Highly recommended. But in any event, so that's, we did that for like 6 Sundays in a row. That's kind of become our Sunday night thing. But yeah, so it's weird. That becomes our biggest issue. Do you, with children, is that an issue for you guys, or is Anne not put up with that shit? She's just like, fine, and she decides something.
Well, the biggest issue in our house is that no one ever wants to eat the same thing.
My younger daughter
would eat pasta. I don't know how many meals are there in a week. 21
all the time.
You know, 3 squares a day or whatever.
It's a,
she
it's
would
a
eat
podcast. You can't
pasta
sit there
for
silently.
At least 18 of those. And pasta to her is noodles with butter and Parmesan cheese. And you've seen her. She
sure.
puts like a shit ton of Parmesan cheese on it.
Yeah. I've seen her with the pizza. Yes.
So she only wants that, but like
your other daughter wants nothing.
We'll usually suggest something. There'll be some dissent and then we just ignore and either ram it through or whatever.
Right.
Occasionally we can be swayed, but.
But like, do you have, you know, within 5-6 miles of the house, do you have a rotation of, like I said, 5-10 places that you go pretty
I mean,
frequently?
We definitely did. Now that, like, since COVID, we've probably limited it to more like, I don't know, maybe four or five. There's like it's a really good place called Ekibin in Baltimore, which does steamed buns, like Chinese buns. Now they're buns. Mm-hmm. Typically buns are like maybe the size of your fist.
Smaller.
But these are like softball sized, but they slice in half and they have different sandwiches. So they have a tofu version. Their sort of baseline one is called the neighborhood bird, which is fried chicken. Did we have it with us? I can't remember.
I don't this doesn't sound familiar, so I don't think so, no.
Well, they opened it used to only be downtown. Now they have one that's sort of in the middle of town, which is closer to us.
Okay.
So my wife and I will get that, and then the girls will typically get Chick-fil-A because they'll eat Chick-fil-A anytime, even though they
Default.
Don't eat that much chicken. It's mostly for French fries.
I respect
so,
it.
So Ikebin, Chick-fil-A, then like pizza, and we haven't done a ton of other takeout because a lot of the takeout that my wife and I would like to get is more like Thai food or Indian, and the girls are always
stuff they would
about
eat
that shit. So
we've
definitely reduced the number. Like I feel like we used to. I mean, around here we go to a lot more chain restaurants, but I don't know. Like I don't remember why we went there. Like maybe it was for my daughter's birthday. She wanted
Red Robin,
which is not in my top 10. But I went there and we picked up food. And there were a ton of people eating in the restaurant. And I was like, what? Like, or sitting like wearing masks in the lobby to like sit down and be seated at the restaurant. I'm sure they have like every other booth
spaced out seating.
I'm like, why the fuck would you eat at Red Robin right now? Is this really where you like want to catch COVID? Is Red Robin worth that to you? It just seemed weird to me.
I mean, I've since this all started, I've eaten in at a restaurant. I could probably count on one hand, but like I met a coworker last month and we ate in. This was downtown on 16th Street, and it was well spaced, you know, like every other booth. And yeah, you had to wear a mask until you sat down and had either your drink or your food served to you. All the servers wearing masks, the hostess or whatever. So, I mean, I didn't feel any, I don't know. I felt as safe there as I do at the grocery store when I'm 2 feet from someone in a small aisle passing by. Like, you know.
I keep saying like being in a confined space makes me nervous, but I guess you're right. I go to the grocery store. I go to the hardware store.
Yeah, it's all indoors.
I guess like I still would not go to a movie theater like that.
I wouldn't either. And I actually had this thought, unless a movie had been out for like 4 or 5 weeks and you knew there was going to be 10 people in there.
I mean, honestly, I think you could probably go to any movie right now. Like you could probably go see Tenet and I don't think there'd be that crowded.
I mean, probably true. It made $20 million, which is a decent opening. But I also know that the first week that that movie started kind of being shown again, there was I think it was AMC, maybe it was Regal. One of the theaters like had throwback prices and tickets were 15 cents. And so I'm like, if you want to fucking have a mass of people on your hands, that's what you do. It's basically a free movie. I assume they were just trying to, you know, just to get people back into the theaters and make a couple bucks on concessions, but 15 cents. I think that was only for like a day or maybe one weekend. And now they've gone back up to $15 or whatever it is, but it was.
Yeah. 15 cents. Crazy. That would tempt me, I guess, just cause I'm such a, like,
I considered it myself.
Yeah. The deal part of that. I'm like,
I just didn't know what movies would be out. I didn't take the time to research it, but that was, yeah, it was an intriguing deal. But yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of that stuff, the restaurant stuff, mm-hmm. getting back to that is as safe as it's going to be. I mean, you know, for now, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fair. Sorry. So what are your top three stuff places?
I was going to leave that one open, and I have no fucking idea what we were talking about. I would put Firehouse Subs first, mostly because of the bread. You're right. That's the key to a good sub. They have excellent bread at Firehouse. Probably Jersey Mike's is second, less so for the bread, but more for everything else. Like their meats, you know, they cut them right in front of you. And, you know, they have fresh vegetables and other toppings and things of that sort. And then just because I can't possibly make a sub list, a top three without including Subway, I guess I'd put Subway third just because I know the menu. I don't even have to look. I know exactly what I get. Like I had it memorized. I know exactly what to say. I know all the questions. Sure, I can anticipate it. So yeah, it's like my second home.
Yeah. I mean, I have that familiarity with Subway as well, but I don't know if it would be my top three. So Jersey Mike's would be my number one just for the, that I feel like that's a place that I've just eaten a lot since I've been here. Cause there's one close.
Sure.
It's really weird for all the like sort of small hoagie sub places there are in Pennsylvania. There's not that many, or at least near where we live.
That is odd.
In Maryland.
Yeah.
Like you think there'd be like
go north a little
be
bit.
A big sort of cultural thing. It's very odd.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Jersey Mike's because they, yeah, I think the bread's decent, but they put like a shit ton of like oil and vinegar.
Yeah, they put a lot.
Hits the spot.
They weigh it down.
And I get it Mike's way plus pickles. And sometimes Red Hots, which are like the cherry peppers.
Is that mood dependent?
So yeah, when it strikes me.
it's interesting to me. People like I would never put peppers on any sandwich. We actually had a yellow pepper cut up on our pizza tonight just because it adds a little dash of flavor. But I would never, ever put any level of pepper on a sandwich. I know a lot of people that would put pepper in their fucking cereal. But people like you, who kind of do it sometimes and kind of don't do it sometimes, it blows my mind. Like I can't even fathom it.
Peppers aren't really spicy; they're more tangy. It's kind of like they have banana peppers there too, and cherry peppers are similar in flavor. I don't really, I haven't eaten them side by side to really tell what the difference is, but
right,
it's like a relish kind of thing, but it's not sweet at all. It's It's more so vinegary. It's salty.
Yeah. Vinegary. Yeah. Sorry, that's the right term.
Okay. So I put them number one.
So J Mike's probably gotcha.
I've probably eaten Firehouse like once or twice. I've never lived in a place that I mean, there may be one around here. It's just not a place that I'm familiar with, so I can't put that in my top three.
They had one at Clemson, that's where I was introduced to it. Not when I was there, but when Jamie was there, and I would travel there on the weekends. And then once we moved here, like I said, now there's one less than a mile away. There was one like 2 or 3 miles away, but just good. Just really good. And maybe, I don't know how popular it is in Baltimore. I know how popular it was in Portland, but one of the big draws is even 3-4 years ago, they had the freestyle machine. So that was like, I'm not sure what I want to eat today on a Saturday afternoon, but I want some.
But I do want to mix some drinks.
I want some cherry Sprite Zero or whatever the fuck I don't know, whatever. Mellow Yellow, that's what it was. Cherry Mellow Yellow Zero.
I don't know how I feel about the freestyle machine. Like, I always get weird shit there, like different flavored Mellow Yellow and stuff.
Sure.
But I feel like the syrups, I think I've talked about this before, aren't, like, we the flavors are a little off.
Oh, they are. But you can make the right mix. I think you introduced me to the Mellow Yellow Zero with either cherry or orange, zest. And I really took to it.
The cherry, or sometimes they have like this weird like citrus one that's like,
sure.
What's it? That's like a antifreeze green color. Like, it is a completely unnatural color, and I'll get that sometimes.
Just for like the freak aspect of it. Mellow Yellow
is already a weird color, and this is just like an even weirder green layered into that. I will do a little bit of that, a little bit of the cherry, maybe a little orange if I'm feeling.
Yeah, so it's not our fault you're doing suicides every time. Like, just fucking pick a pick a regular beverage, put a little flavor in it, and just roll with it.
Well, but when I get the freestyle, I'm gonna probably have 2 or 3 servings per visit.
Okay, Caligula, but you don't need to do that, is my point. Like,
so, but what I'm saying is,
pull it back a few.
Like, I'll probably get Mountain Dew Zero every time, but the sub flavor will probably change with each refill.
Okay.
And I think I'm either overwhelming my taste buds or just blowing them up.
And what I'm saying is, get the main beverage with one sub flavor, but don't include a second and a third and a fourth sub flavor within the drink.
That. I've just done it occasionally because I'm like, ooh, I don't know what Mellow Yellow Peach tastes like or Mellow Yellow Grape tastes like.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I mean, you probably don't want to know. Dump it out if it's really bad.
Yeah, you don't want to know. Yeah.
So I'd put Jersey Mike's at the top, and then I'd like, Jimmy John's. All right. I don't know. I don't have like a tight second and third.
So why did you bring this up? No, the bread at Jimmy John's here's my only,
the bread at Jimmy John's is weak.
It's weak. It's so weak.
They have good cookies there though.
Oh my God. We're talking about the fucking sandwiches. That's why you brought this up. I'm not talking about the cookies or the employees. I'm talking about the sandwich.
It's a larger experience.
Oh, God. All right, fair.
I hate to put Subway on the list because I really don't think Subway's that good, but it does hit a spot, doesn't it? What was the other place we mentioned? Blimpie's Garbage. Oh, I like Quiznos. I'll put Quiznos third. Actually, I put Quiznos second. I'll move Jimmy John's to third.
Okay, I only didn't include Quiznos because I just have not been there in a very long time. I don't even know where one is.
You know what I actually would bump up to? Rivaling
Substation
first.
2?
Huh?
Substation 2?
No, that place is not that good. I know. Schlotzky's. I fucking love
Schlotzky's. I haven't thought
about
Schlotzky's.
It's not really a sub sandwich, but...
Yeah, I was about to say, we're treading on dangerous ground here. If you open it up to just general sandwiches, all right, I'm going to include Groucho's. I'm going to include a bunch of other just straight sandwich places. I'm talking sub. Because there's also a place here, speaking of Hoagies, there's a place here called Philly's, which a couple weeks ago we got cheesesteaks from. Fucking delicious. Man, cheesesteaks. Whew. Something else. They just hit a spot.
Do you still get the pizza steak?
Pizza steak. Love marinara. The pizza steak. So good. Love the pizza steak. The best.
So yeah, I'm going to sneak in a Schlotzky's just because I love it. And I feel like it's gone out of business for the most part.
It probably is.
Like 6 of them left.
Yeah, Schlotzky's was definitely good.
But Quiznos, I like the toasted.
Toasty. I feel like that was their, clearly that was their marketing campaign for a while. And then Subway just kind of snuck in and was like, fuck you, we're going to toast shit too. And then they've been doing that ever since. So it's like the one thing
so funny
that made Quiznos stand out amongst the others,
they no longer have. Thing. I think we're talking
about that's what I'm saying. This was like, I know, I just realized that because you froze for a second. No, but that's what I'm saying. This was 10, 12 years ago. Subway was like, nah, screw you. We're going to do that too. And they took away their competitive advantage just instantaneously by also offering subs or also offering toasting.
Schlotsky's does still exist.
Do you know what I'm talking about when I say Groucho's, though? You've been to Groucho's in Columbia, right?
Yeah, it's fine. There's nothing like hits me with that.
I'm telling you, man, that sauce. I forget what it's called. It's a number. Like 1349 sauce or some shit like that. I don't know. It's good. It's like a Thousand Island dressing, essentially. But it's very tasty. And now I'm looking it up.
I'm trying to see where Schlotsky's are.
I can't imagine there's too many left. Oh, Formula 45. That's what they call it at Groucho's. Good stuff. If you're in wherever they are. Actually, I'm going to look at locations. Since we're taking this time, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia. Those are the only places with Groucho's. There's a lot in South Carolina, though. It's good. Good to see. Anyway, but none anywhere near either one of us. So I don't know why we're wasting our time. So where are the Schlotsky's? That's what you're looking up?
There's one. On the map. There's one in Charlotte, North Carolina, or Gastonia. Although it says closed. I don't know if that means closed for COVID or what.
Here's another place I was going to mention when you opened up the can of worms to sandwiches.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys have any around you, but McAllister's. Do you have McAllister's?
Nah. I'm kind of iffy on that too.
What? Get the fuck out of here. McAllister's good.
Why do you like McAllister's so much?
There was one here. There was one a couple miles from here and it went out of business.
There's one in Denver?
It was a bad location.
It was a chain.
Yeah. It is, but it went out of business. Oh, speaking of which, since we're probably going to stick on food talk for another 45 minutes, opening up in, I guess, about 45 days, early November, about 2 miles from my home in Aurora, Colorado, an In-N-Out Burger. Very excited about that.
Nice.
Very excited. They're actually opening up two locations in the greater Denver area. One is way south of here, and then one is just up the road.
I think they opened a few in Portland after we moved.
They're definitely expanding.
I had it a couple of times in LA when I was there for work. I mean, obviously the veggie burger is basically just their burger with no patty.
Of course.
It was fine. I'm not the core demo when I'm not eating meat, but
no,
I mean, everyone says that the reason it's good is because the freshness of the ingredients, which is why they didn't think you could really exported outside of California, but I guess they figured out how to.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Send a bun somewhere other than.
it'll be interesting to see how much, at least for this household, how much business it takes away from like Five Guys, because like our go-to burger place is Five Guys, but once In-N-Out is here, it's going to be like, well, what are we in the mood for? And they're very different.
I feel like In-N-Out's cheaper than Five Guys, but I could.
Oh, it's definitely cheaper. Yeah, Five Guys, God. It's like every quarter they jack up the price 50 cents.
They're like, oh, you wanted a burger? That's going to be $25. You're like, what the fuck?
Seriously.
Last week it was 20.
We got that at some point in the last couple weeks. We got two burgers, bacon cheeseburgers, but junior bacon cheeseburgers. And
wait, are you the junior or is it the cheeseburger?
The cheeseburger. And a medium fry that we split. And it was like $25. We didn't even get drinks because I was just picking it up to go.
Whoa, really? No drinks? Jesus.
Because I was picking it up to go. We had drinks here.
No, I'm not saying you should have gotten them. I'm saying that's crazy expensive.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Not have.
Yeah. Exactly. I think the adding bacon is like $1.25 now. Or adding, I don't know. It's super pricey. But it's so fucking good. They got me. They got me good, man. I can't separate myself.
I feel like their fries are like $3 or $4 now too.
Yeah, based on what I just said, they'd have to be. The burgers are like $9.25, $9.50 a pop. Fries are $4, $4.50, and then tax. It's nuts, I tell you. Anyway, Did you get all the answers you wanted from the sandwich thing? What are you looking up now? You can't be doing the show this
distracted. The menu costs of Five Guys.
Oh, okay.
They're handcrafted, Scott. That's why they're so expensive.
I don't know if they'll have the menu costs online.
Very popular in the Baltimore region because it started in D.C.
In D.C. Yeah, it sure did. I've been to the original Five Guys in D.C. They're very proud of their location. Everyone listening. If you've made it this far, so, do you care?
Do you get a little burger or do you get a
little? Not junior. Sorry, size. Little. Yeah.
What's that?
Little drinking. Bacon cheeseburger. Yeah, I was drinking. A little bacon cheeseburger is what I get. Do they have prices? Lay on.
I'm not seeing. They just have the nutritional facts, which is not helpful.
Oh, God. No one wants to read that. 1,600 calories.
A little cheeseburger says is 600 calories.
That's still a lot.
I mean, that's with nothing on it, basically.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You put your mayonnaise.
That's the other bad part about... I don't put mayonnaise, but yeah.
I've realized that mayonnaise on a burger, I think, is like a Northwest thing. Because every place in the Northwest does it. And every place on the East Coast, or my limited 4.5 years living here, it's like ketchup and mustard. And some Red Robin will put mayonnaise on it, but they started in Seattle, so that makes sense. I mean, obviously some places put mayonnaise on their burgers, but like every place in the Northwest does, and I think it's a regional thing.
I mean, I hate mayo, so I'm the wrong person to talk about this, but you can tell because a lot of places, if you ask for mayo, this is, again, back in the days when we were dining in, some places would put it on there for you. Some places would bring it out in a tiny little cup. Those are the places that clearly are not used to putting mayonnaise on a burger. Because they don't know how to do it. They're like, we can put some in this little tiny cup for you and you can distribute as you'd like. But again, mayo's devil's cum, as I like to call it. Mayo's gross.
Gross.
Personal
don't
opinion.
Don't call it that.
I'm just, Jesus. Don't play this part in the car. I'm just telling you, it's disgusting. Okay. I hate mayo. What is mayo? It's just like oil and semen? I don't even know. No, what are the ingredients?
Eggs.
Oh, oil and egg. I mean, that's gross. That's disgusting.
No, it's not. It's delicious.
I don't like eggs, and I have no big thoughts on oil.
Yeah, you don't like eggs.
Yeah, that's a big
problem. Earl. You like Earl.
I mean, I like Earl if I don't know it's in something, which I will often know. But anyway. All right, so let's...
All right, so topic two.
No, we didn't really start topic one. I was asking you what you're doing. You got off on LinkedIn, and then you, out of the blue, said, what's your favorite sandwich shop? You had one of the three to list yourself.
Connected in some way. I don't remember how it was connected.
Anyway, so what have you been, aside from applying for 8 different jobs, what have you been doing with your free time? It looks like you've been taking walks with at least your younger daughter. I guess her schooling isn't all day.
I've been taking the younger daughter to the park. She has her first full day of kindergarten tomorrow. We got news today that they may be starting back in person in November, which would be great because she's had she had like 2 meetings today, video meetings. My older daughter's in video meetings basically all day, and she like can pay attention for like 15 minutes and then just starts like she had her computer on with the camera. She was sitting under the desk just like twiddling her thumb. Like she just gets so fucking bored. Like she's not engaged at all. Like
sure,
the teacher is like reading a book and she's just like, I don't give a shit about this. Cause like watching somebody read a book on a screen and they have Chromebooks, but it's like a 13-inch screen. And so it's cut down to like 60% of that. So it's basically like watching
you're just listening to a podcast
or something. It's not great.
Yeah. So now if they are going, if the kindergartner is going back in November, is that true for both of them?
Only one of them is in kindergarten.
Is that true for both of them that they'll be going
back?
They're
going to start with the pre-K, K, and I think that's it.
Okay.
And I think they may start. Well, I know they wanted to prioritize the younger kids because it is harder to do.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Like the younger grade, like the older you get, the more self-sufficient you are. So you're trying to get the younger kids in first, establish some sort of like record of success, and I think they will keep like
adding grits,
you know, adding to that. So,
okay,
she's first on the list.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so we're excited about that. And she also they added a like pre-K and kindergarten soccer thing. Similar, I'm not going to be coaching it, but. So we signed her up for that. So she will be starting soccer next week.
An out of the house activity.
Like, we got 75 spots. You got to sign up by the end of the week. They basically send it on Sunday and they're like closing the registration tomorrow, I think, or something.
That's good. Activity.
But yes, we've gone to the park a few times. Both of the girls, like Wednesday is sort of a conference day, if you will. Like the teachers will meet with small groups, and it's mostly asynchronous learning, which if you're a parent, you know what that means. That means
I am
not live instruction.
Okay.
For some reason, all the schools have introduced this terminology of synchronous and asynchronous learning and just started saying it like everyone knew what the fuck that means and no one knew what that meant.
Sure.
But Wednesdays are primarily asynchronous learning or non-live instruction. They do have some small groups. So we went to the park on Wednesday because it's a time to sort of catch up, do some of your assignments and that kind of stuff. But like my younger daughter hadn't started and my older daughter, it's whatever, the second week. So she doesn't have like a ton of stuff piled up that she had to get done.
Right.
So yeah, we were able to go to the park and hang out and do stuff. And it like, excuse me, the weather has been very fallish, so it's nice outside.
Pleasant. Love good fall.
Yeah, there. Like in the low 70s, not super humid.
Nice. I mean,
to me, it's like perfect.
Yeah.
Anyone who's like, oh, I really like the hot weather. First of all, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Actually, I don't mind the heat. It's the humidity. I know it's a stupid joke that people say, but seriously, I hate humidity. And I live in like the worst fucking place for that. Not the worst, but. The whole East Coast, I think, is a shithole.
Yeah, the whole East Coast is very humid.
But, I have one of my former coworkers is like, man, I love when it gets hot. Give me 95 degrees. He's like, I just want to move to Florida. I'm like, what the fuck is
wrong with you? Oh, my God. No, you don't. Who would say that?
Why would you want that? Like, you just walk outside and you're sweating all the time.
Yeah,
it's like, I love it. Get a good sweat going. I'm like, fucking weirdo.
Just buy a sauna.
I mean, I don't mind sweating, but I don't want to just like step outside the door. And just
the best way to say it is I only want to sweat when I'm ready to sweat. Yeah. I don't want to sweat just by exactly walking out my front door and going 60 feet to my car, which I'm certain for
also,
you and probably for
I
me.
I hate that like where you going in and out of buildings and it's like, it feels so good inside. And then you go outside and you're like, oh.
Yeah,
I hate that.
No, I know. I can relate.
The relative humidity of the indoor and outdoor, it's better if it's closer. If it's at more of an equilibrium than just
hard to
straight
do.
Up like zero to 100.
Hard
so anyway,
to do sometimes.
The humidity has been low because it's sort of fallish.
Gotcha.
So it's been nice to be outside. Like it's been cool. It's been like down to the 40s at night, which I know is not cool for Colorado, but it...
I mean, that's cooler than it's been here. It's, I mean, for a couple of days there, especially around the day that it snowed a week and a half ago, we certainly got down that low. But for a couple of nights, it was in the 40s. But it's definitely in the 50s and maybe even the 60s here recently as a low, which is not great. But I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure in a week or two we'll skip right past fall, which sucks, and go right to the 60s and high 50s for the highs. And then the lows will be in the 30s and everything will die.
Wait, is that not fall? 60s? That sounds perfect. What are you talking about?
I like it. I like it, but I'm saying it's not fall weather. And then like in the 30s for the low, that's not fall weather. That's winter weather where we come from is what I'm saying.
What was the temperature when you got married? It was around that, wasn't it? Like 60s?
Yeah. When the sun was out, it probably even dipped down in the high 50s by the time it was all said and done. By the time the ceremony was over. Yeah. And that was only a year ago.
When did you get married?
September 30th. So it's 2 weeks from today.
Say it again.
September 30th.
Oh, so 1 year anniversary coming up.
Yep.
Felicitaciones.
Already got the gift. I know it's paper.
She got you a gift?
No, I got a gift for her.
What is the 1 year anniversary gift?
It's paper, as you know.
Okay.
I would assume you know. Yes. I know it's been a long time, but
of course I know that. I honestly have no idea if or what I got Anne for our first anniversary.
If? Come on, man. Don't say if.
I'm not a good gift giver.
Yeah, I know.
I probably did then. I was younger and
yeah, thoughtful, cared.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I've purchased the gift.
I hadn't been beaten down by years of my wife being disappointed in my gift. So
years of marriage.
Still trying. No, I want to get her something that she likes, but she never ever likes anything I get her. So.
Yeah, I know. I've had the same track record.
Honestly, this year getting the Sky Dancer was probably the greatest gift I've ever gotten her.
Hang on, the what now?
I rented a Sky Dancer.
I wasn't thinking of being called
they're,
that. Yeah,
called Sky Dancers.
And it said happy 20th or whatever.
She was very, very excited about that.
Yeah, no, that was worth every penny. Not sure what you paid, but I'm sure it was worth every penny.
I rented it for 2 days.
Did you really?
Because, well, yeah, see, the place closed at like, I don't know, 4:30 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls were in camp at the time. And so I rented it the day before. So I picked it up at like 2:30. And I was going to have it. The goal was, I'm trying to remember why this didn't work. I was going to have it like on in the morning when she woke up because if you remember my video, you could see it basically.
It's right out the kitchen window.
Floor window right outside. They wouldn't see this guy waving around out there.
Yeah.
But I think it was raining in the morning, so I couldn't set it up because I had attached some
papers to it.
Some paper to it that said happy anniversary.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that to be soaked because I sort of defeated the purpose. It turned out that didn't matter. But anyway.
I think it said happy 20th, not happy anniversary.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter what it actually said. The point was.
I'm just saying.
Get recognizing our wedding anniversary. Yes, of course. The girls were in camp, so they had camp, but I couldn't set it up until after they left. And she's like, my wife was like, the girls would really love to see this. So I was like, well, I'll just run it for another day because I would have had to take it back before they got out of camp.
Gotcha.
I had to return it by like 2:30, so I just ran it another day. And then
yeah, you got to let them see it, of course.
We had some, I posted on Instagram and some of my daughter's friends were like, can we come by and see the Sky Dancer? I'm sure. God. So they came by that night and checked it out.
Did you just leave it running the whole time?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's what it's meant to do. I just didn't know
if you. It's basically a giant.
Cared.
It's basically a giant fan on the ground and then it's a big nylon tube.
Yeah.
Just sways in the wind as you might, or
as openings,
exhaust of that fan.
Yeah,
it's probably, I don't know, 18 or 24 inches in diameter across the bottom,
and probably 20 feet high. It's up there, it's tall.
Oh, yeah, it's 20 feet tall. I tried to buy one on Amazon and I actually did buy one because it was like $50 and I was like, well, this is like $30 a day to rent it, but. I did not read the fine print. The $50 thing is
just the nylon.
The nylon tube.
Of course, it's not going to come with a fan, you moron. Come on.
I was like $50 with a fan. I can do that.
Yeah, no, that's way too much.
But
too little.
I think if you get the fan, it's like $200 or something.
Fan would be pricey.
And I was like, I don't know if I can really justify like $250 on this thing, but I don't really have a ton of uses for other than it's just fun to watch.
It is. Would probably lose its appeal after a while, though, I would imagine. You have to put it away for like 3 years.
Our neighbors the fan is loud as shit.
I can imagine.
As you might imagine. Oh my God.
I can imagine.
If our neighbors heard that
so
low,
it wasn't running
like,
all night.
Drone all the time, saw that thing like dancing around our yard, they'd be like, these are the weirdest people I've ever met.
They probably think that anyway, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Okay, well, good. Glad to know. I didn't know that the 20th was wind or air. I didn't know that was the
it's not. I don't,
appropriate.
It's like,
oh, okay.
I think it's like dishes or something. But
that's stupid.
A lot of that stuff is like
I know. It's just pointless. It's like Hallmark. It's just to get you to
spend money. I mean, I think whatever the one is, the diamond, is that like 50 or something? Like, I think that makes sense, but like.
Sure.
20th being, it's either porcelain or dishes. It's like.
That's stupid.
I mean, my wife would be like, why the fuck did you spend money on this?
Right. And you say, because the thing told me to. And she'd say, you're an idiot.
I was like, because I could get a plate with my face on it, and I thought you would love to have that.
There you go.
Just to eat off of every day.
My stick a knife and fork into.
Face underneath your broccoli.
It's like cutting up meat.
Yeah.
Cutting up steak on that plate. Be a good way to do that. Okay. This is related. Topic two.
Okay.
You can see it on the topic list if you have it open. Midnight, not midnight.
I don't have it open.
It's fine. You don't have to. Midnight peeing. We've talked about this before. Getting up in the middle of the night, having to pee. I wanted to get. It's been happening the past couple of nights. I'll go like weeks, maybe even months, where I don't get up in the middle of the night at all. And then I seem to get on this streak where, for 3, 4, 5 nights in a row, I have to get up and pee. And my question is, because we talked about this before, we talked about leaving the seat down and straddling. I am 100% on board with that. I do that even with the light on. Like, I don't care. It is a little more comfortable and easier.
Oh, you've done the lay pee, the facing the tank?
Yes. I like it.
Oh, nice.
I'm a fan. And with the boxers, you just kind of hike the boxers up a little bit. You know, pull your Johnson out, and you just sit there and pee. And then you're done, and off you go. So my question is, in terms of getting up in the middle of the night and using the bathroom, we both drink a lot of soda, but I'm certain you drink more than I do. So I'm wondering how often that happens for you, that you have to get up in the middle of the night.
You have to get up in the middle of the night?
To go tinky tink.
I don't know. Every night, some night. It doesn't bother me. I'm such a heavy sleeper. I just get up, pee, and then go back to bed. I don't care.
Oh, I know. I recall when you nearly pissed on me when I was 9 years old or whatever, and you were sleepwalking. You don't even know if it's a common occurrence, or you feel that it is relatively common.
No, I mean,
20% of the time.
It's probably more like 3 a.m., but I know that's not your point.
No, not at all. Mid-night, not midnight.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'd say probably 3 nights a week. Every other night, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, that's fair. Is it?
It depends. Yeah. It depends on if I've had consumed a lot of liquids before I go to bed.
Obviously, that makes a difference.
So if I drink a glass, we'll say 16 ounces of water and or soda.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I don't know, pre or post 10 o'clock or post 9:30, I'm probably going to wake up in the middle of the night to pee.
So you will tonight because you've been drinking your glass and it's almost 11 o'clock.
Well, what time is it?
It's 10:45.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I might be able to just flush that out before I could have
power through it. Yeah, flush it out. Well, that's the thing. Like, I think with everyone, the last thing you do, aside from, you know, brushing your teeth and whatever, the last thing you do before you go to sleep is you pee. You go to the bathroom. Yet, yeah. Still, sometimes, you know, by hour 4 or 5, as opposed to by hour 6 or 7, I'm like, I gotta piss, and I get up. But I also think it has something to do with, am I woken up by something else? Because if anything else wakes me up at 3:30, 4 o'clock, I'm gonna wake up and realize I have to pee, and I can't go back to sleep if I have to pee at all.
If something has awoken me at 3 a.m., I'd be like, well, I might as well get up and pee because I'm awake. Again, yeah, I can fall back to sleep pretty instantly anyway, but if you get that little tug, if you will, down in the bowels, you might as well just release the floodgates and get back to bed.
If you get that little tug down in the bowels, all right, fair enough.
If you need to captain your submarine down to the bathroom.
No, one step too far. Should have stuck with what you had there. All right, interesting. I guess the other question I was going to ask, since you are a couple years older than me, is this something that has gotten worse with time?
Feel like you're peeing more?
Say that again.
I don't think so. Do you feel like you're peeing more?
Just again, I feel like this year versus 5 years ago, it happens marginally more than it used to.
Once you hit 40, it's like I gotta pee every.
I don't know. That's what I got. That's really what I'm asking here. That's the gist of my question.
I haven't noticed that. I feel like I have always consumed beverages right up till the time I fall asleep. So I've had to pee a lot in the middle of the night. It's like the worst thing to me is if you go camping.
Mm-hmm.
And
you got to put on shoes.
You know, maybe dips down to like 40 degrees at night or colder.
Sure.
Man, if you wake up at 3 a.m. and you're like, fuck, I got to pee.
Yeah, that's the worst.
You're nice. You're in your sleeping bag and you're really warm. You're like, I do not want to get out of bed. Because once you get out of bed, stand out there in the woods and go to the bathroom, you cannot warm up after that for like an hour and a half.
You're freezing.
Like it takes forever.
And therefore, you can't go back to sleep either. So.
Yeah. So you're just miserable. The same thing happens like if it's that similar temperature range when I wake up in the morning, I'm just like, fuck, I don't want to get out of bed because I know I'm going to be freezing my ass off before I make the campfire or whatever or after until.
This is news to me. How frequently are you going camping during the winter in the past 25 years?
I mean, we would do it in Oregon and like it would dip down to like, again, cooler nights there, so it dipped down. Maybe it was only in the 40s or 50s, but it felt fucking freezing.
Yeah,
especially when you're all snuggled up in your sleeping bag and you get up and you're just like,
I get
Shit, because it's not like you're putting on a bunch of clothes. You're basically just stepping into your shoes,
maybe a jacket,
whatever you were in the sleeping bag.
Of course. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the.
And again, when you're getting back into the tent, it's not like you're going from outside into your house, which is a warm, you're basically, you know, ambient air is the same.
From cold to maybe slightly not as cold, but only slightly.
Yeah, then you get in the sleeping bag and maybe you warm up. Again, it just takes a little longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
For your body heat to fill out that mummy bag.
That is the price you pay for going camping in the wintertime or the fall or the spring or whenever it is that you non-summer, I suppose. Okay. I just wanted to have a conversation about that because it's, you know, it's starting to happen more frequently. I'm unsure why. So it's not weird. I think it's part of life. I assume. I don't know.
Weird.
That's why I'm asking. All right. Speaking of putting pressure on your prostate. So I want to give a recap because I talked a couple weeks about this and then I never actually told you how it went or we didn't talk about it. And that was the Mount Evans climb that I mentioned on this very pod a few weeks ago. So not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I did in fact make it to the peak of Mount Evans. I posted on Facebook, got a bunch of pictures, got several videos up there. If you want to check it out, I guess I could post
on
the Bro Pod.
I actually saw it on Facebook.
Yeah. And it was very cool. As I mentioned, I wanted to do it last year. I didn't quite make it up because the road was blocked. But this year the road actually was also blocked to traffic, but the gate was open to the very top. And so I was able to make it all the way. And it was pretty awesome. Perfect weather, nice sunny day. It was chilly. It was like in the 50s up at the top, which is like down here in Denver, it was like 97 that day. It was in the 50s at 14,000 feet, which was very refreshing. But as I said in my Facebook post, the struggle is real to get to the top, but then basically freewheeling your way back down to the bottom, back to my car, is just the most fun you can have. As soon as I got back later that day, I was already looking like, what other mountains can I climb on my bike? Pikes Peak is an option. There's one near Georgetown, Colorado. I forget the name of the mountain, but it's like a 13,000 footer. So I'm already planning to do that maybe next spring after the snow melts or even early summer to be safer. But if you have the opportunity, not you, because I know you will not. The you listening out there, if you have the opportunity to climb a mountain on your bike, do it. It's worth it. It's fun. And again, the freewheeling descent is worth every minute. So check it out at your local mountain. Do it. What are you looking up there?
Pricing of software.
Oh, okay. That's relevant. What software are you buying? Hang on. I'm going to preempt my own question. Let's get back to you, the first topic, which we barely really talked about. We went into food chat for 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. Your life without a job. One thing that did not make sense to me is obviously you had to turn in your work computer. That makes sense to me. And you essentially told me then, as it related to the podcast, because that was going to have an impact, you would therefore then not have a computer. You clearly have a computer, unless you're typing on an iPad or something. Like, what is your computer situation?
My daughter's Chromebook.
You are using her Chromebook. So you don't have your own computer. How is that possible?
Well, I had a computer that I used to record the podcast on, an iMac. Okay. But basically, the hard drive malfunctioned. I spent the last 2 days trying to, like, erase it. Well, I copied all the stuff off of it.
Okay.
I was able to do that.
To the cloud?
So I was like, what's that?
To the cloud? Put all the stuff in the cloud?
No, copied it onto a portable hard drive. So okay. Some deep nerd talk. You can, if your Mac fails, you can connect it to another Mac and use it through target mode, which essentially makes it an external hard drive.
Sure.
You can copy stuff off of that computer onto something else. So
I
copied
it
off of that computer to actually my work computer and then onto an external hard drive.
Intermediate step. Fair enough.
Well, I tried to go straight from that to the external hard drive, but it kept like crapping out
because of the Mac.
For whatever. I don't know why I did it. Anyway.
Sure.
So today it wouldn't let me reformat it. And I was like looking up all these ways. So there's sort of command line prompt in Mac is called terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like I looked up code to like basically force erase it. And I did that and erased it. But then I tried to reinstall the OS and it's basically like your hard drive's fucked. I can't put this on here.
Really?
That's so the computer is 10 years old. Like, I think it's from 2010. That'd be the 10 years old.
Yeah,
So I can buy a new hard drive for it and sort of make it functional. But my wife's like, do you really want to spend money to put a new hard drive in a 10-year-old computer? Why don't we just buy a new computer? So at some point, I will buy a new computer probably. But, I mean, there is also the thing, like, if I get a job, I'll probably get a computer through that. So I don't really want to spend money on a computer if I don't have to.
Sure.
So I don't know. I'm holding right now.
Okay.
We have two Chromebooks for our daughters and my wife has a work laptop. So, and obviously you can do a lot of stuff on your phone. I can't do like design work, obviously on my phone. I obviously can't really do it on a Chromebook.
And that's what blew my mind. That's what was confusing to me, and my wife and I had this conversation.
So everything, like all the software now is subscription-based for the most part, right? So like
sure.
If I create Adobe Creative Cloud, which you think of traditionally as like Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
If it's a subscription-based and you can do it yearly or monthly, I don't really know because I'm like my work provided that. So if I get a job where they provide that, it's kind of useless for me
to buy it yourself.
My own subscription to it, unless I'm doing a ton of like personal work. But like if you have a design job, your free time to do that stuff is usually not a ton unless you're just like an animal that like has to be designing 24 hours a day.
Animals.
Well, I mean, you're just like super driven to do your own personal stuff, which if you are, great.
Yeah.
100% applaud that. But I had a laptop on my old job and I could bring it home and work. Obviously I recorded the pod on it. I could do stuff on that.
Sure.
The software doesn't turn off when you leave the office.
Right. Of course not.
So I could do it at home. So if that's going to be provided to me by somebody else, like the other computer is just basically going to sit there until I decide that I don't want to use my work computer. I mean, I guess my point is I don't do enough stuff on my own that's not work related. I mean, right now I do because I don't have a job, but
right.
So it's kind of a weird situation. I mean, you know, the girls' Chromebooks that they use for school, they do everything on them. They're like $200 or $300. I think both of them we paid a little over 200. Like they're clearly very cheap, but like if I get a Mac laptop, it's going to be closer to like $2,000.
Yeah, so, exactly.
If all I'm doing is surfing the web or like I can still check, you know, apply to jobs and that kind of stuff through the Chromebook, then I don't really need to have a legit computer until I actually like want to do work. If I find a freelance job and they're like, yeah, you know, do you have your own computer? I mean, I can sort of work that into the negotiations of how I'm going to do that, and I'll buy a computer. That's not that big a deal to set up, but
sure.
Yeah, that's just kind of the situation I'm in.
So, right, do you have that? And obviously, in the weekend it might be different, but that's kind of what I was questioning is, from 8 to 5 or 8 to 3, whatever school hours are, could you swipe one of their Chromebooks? Like, aren't they on them most of the day?
Well, we have a sort of an extra one or two because they are issued one by the school and then they have their own personal one.
Okay. So. I didn't get that part. Okay. Gotcha. And obviously at 11 o'clock at night, you have access to it, which it is right now.
Yeah. So. But, and most of the day, if I'm computing, I can do it from my phone.
Computing. Yeah. Nerd talk.
I mean, I can certainly email. Like today I was for that career counseling thing, mm-hmm. uploading my resume. I did it on the Chromebook because it's kind of a pain in the ass to like send files from your phone.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, if you have it saved a certain way, it's definitely doable, but it's more of a hassle than it is to do it with like a keyboard.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And a mouse and file system.
Sure.
Which Chromebook sort of has, but not really.
Kind of not. Yeah. Speaking of nerd talk, just to transition, have you seen that Netflix? You guys have Netflix, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you cut the cord. I know if you cut that cord too. There's a series on Netflix called High Score. Have you seen that?
I've seen the
ad for it. Yeah.
Promo for it, but I haven't watched it.
It's really good.
It's about like old school video games.
Yeah, it's basically the history of video games. Like all the way up. It stops at like 93. So it's like the history of Atari, the history of Nintendo. It talks about Sega. And then I watched the final episode today that talked about the introduction of PC games.
TurboGrafx?
Like Doom. TurboGrafx 16 was just mentioned. Like there was 18 seconds spent on TurboGrafx.
No deep dive on Bonk's
Revenge. No, but by the way, speaking of TurboGrafx, you can buy a TurboGrafx 16 on Amazon for like $90. And I saw that. I know. I was expecting a lower price too, right? I was expecting a lower price too. And I saw that.
I'm sure you can download an emulator.
Yeah, but $0. That beats the purpose. And I was like, it must come with 5 games, right? No. No games. $90 for TurboGrafx 16. And then my thought was, did either one of us save those games? Or were they just thrown in the trash? And I feel like, unfortunately, it was the latter of those two.
I'm guessing they're thrown in the trash.
Yeah, it's a shame. Trash. I mean, I assume the TurboGrafx 16 was as well. Otherwise, I would have been playing it low these many years. I don't think it made the move.
You can download a TurboGrafx 16 emulator.
Yeah, but can you on a Chromebook? That's the question. Don't try it. It's gonna. Don't try it. You're gonna shut down the show somehow.
No. I'm
just watching the.
I'm not gonna do it right now. I'm just curious if you can.
Now, is there one that just runs like on Flash, like on a website, or do you have to download and run a software for the emulator?
I'm looking.
See, and that's the other thing too. And I was thinking about this, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Is the concept of playing a console game on a computer, like the whole ASDF and the arrow keys and using the mouse? I've never been super comfortable with that. I'm much more comfortable with a joystick or a controller in my hand. Thoughts, comments?
Agreed. Sorry, I'm looking at downloading
TurboGrafx
16 emulator. You can definitely download it for free. It looks like it's about 75 megs.
75 meg? That's nothing.
I assume that comes with all the games.
Right.
And you can probably get a controller to plug into.
Yeah, I'm sure they sell those.
I'm sure
there's
a controller you can just plug in.
I might do that.
You can also apparently buy it through the Wii Virtual Console. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, the last console I have is a PS2, so I don't think it has those capabilities.
You can also buy an Android version.
Ooh.
Or I don't know if you buy it, you can
download
an Android version.
All right.
It says it has mid-level accuracy, whatever that means.
I'll look that up after the show.
Anyway, sorry. What What were you asking?
I was just asking if well, I was asking about the controller thing, handling on the PC. But the point of me bringing that up is it's worth watching. It's a good watch. And it actually, I think the penultimate episode talked a lot about Sonic. And it prompted me to download a Sonic, like someone had put the Sonic game on the cell phone. And it doesn't play very well, though, because it has like on screen, like you turn your phone sideways, obviously, and has on screen controls. And they just, I don't know, they don't work very well. But it was fun playing Sonic. Hadn't played that in a long time. Classic game. Love the Sonic.
Nice.
Do you remember when Tim and Travis got the Sega CD?
No, I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it.
It was terrible. Big flop. They talked about that too.
Sega CD. Is that after Genesis or something?
Yeah, it was after Genesis, and it literally ran CDs, and it was like part of it was kind of watching a movie, and it was like, ooh, because it was, you know, it was realistic. you were literally watching film. This was kind of before DVDs had taken off. I mean, this is like 1990, 91 maybe. This is when Blockbuster still had videotapes, to kind of put it in perspective. So Sega CD was kind of groundbreaking, if you will. But yeah, check it out. High Score on Netflix. Very entertaining. Yes?
So according to this, excuse me, these are some ROMs, so like the game downloads.
Yeah.
There's a game called... It says it's for TurboGrafx-16, but they also have like Super Mario on here, which I don't know if that was ever on TurboGrafx.
Definitely was not.
There's a game called Jackie Chan's Action Kung Fu.
Love it.
That sounds amazing.
Do you remember we had a Kung Fu game for TurboGrafx-16? Do you remember that? It was horrible. Like the figures were like they took up like 80% of the screen. You know, you think of a Kung Fu game, oh, the guy's, you know, 10%, 15% of the screen. No, the figures were gigantic.
Yeah, I mean, the Jackie Chan's Action Kung Fu looks to be a side-scroller. Although it's funny that the screenshots are all the, like, this one actually looks more like a 1:1, but they're, like, the 3:4 aspect ratio.
Is nice.
Just looks weird.
Solid. Yeah, those games were, well, as we later found out, they were sued. Those games were 8-bit, not 16-bit, so... Way to go, TurboGrafx.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
That was a big controversy. That's one of the main reasons it died out as a console. Plus, it probably couldn't compete with Nintendo and or Sega. And I think it came out at the wrong time. Yeah. Like, PlayStation was not far behind, and then PlayStation just took off.
Yeah, yeah. The jump from, like, the Genesis and the TurboGrafx to, like, the... I guess it was, like, the PlayStation, the original one. I don't know. I feel like it got... Maybe it didn't jump that much, but it certainly felt like it did.
I mean, even think about games...
I don't know, I kind of lost interest in gaming around that time.
Yeah, of course. But think about games like Super Mario Brothers, whether 1, 2, or 3. Like you just mentioned it, and they talked about it, actually, on today's episode I watched, the side-scrolling. And then you think about Super Nintendo with Mario Kart, which was like a virtual world. Like it was essentially 3D. It was not side-scrolling anymore.
Yeah,
like
it's true.
You were from that the POV, you know. That was huge. That can put,
and
that
then even
totally
jumping
changed.
To like 64, like
yeah, the, totally different with Link and all that. Where
yeah, more like a 3D sort of environment.
Yes,
for the Mario
for sure.
games.
And again, it's interesting that series on Netflix, High Score, which I just mentioned again, proud sponsor of tonight's
the real promo.
Proud sponsor of tonight's podcast.
High Score.
Again, like I said, they essentially stopped in like 93. Like, they didn't talk about PlayStation at all. They talked about Super Nintendo a little bit on today's episode that I watched during lunch, which was the final one of the series. But it really does show the progression up to that point. And then to know where it has come since then is kind of crazy just to think about it. But it really talked about kind of the real innovators of
the genre. Yeah, what did they just drop? PlayStation 5?
PS5? I don't know.
They just released. Yeah, PS5.
Okay. I've been out of that game for a long time. The gaming game. I try to play computer games every now and again, but it's just, I'm so bad.
I tried to play computer
I'm
games.
I'm so bad at the games. Like, these 12-year-olds in Sweden are just annihilating me. And so I don't. It's not even fun because I'm not even close. I have such bad skills.
You're not an esport athlete.
No, not at all.
I mean, I think you can't be over like 16 to be good at that. I don't know. Like you're, I think you age out of the Twitch
yes
reactions.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't qualify for that at all.
15.
Way too old. Way too old. All right. Since we're talking about sports, let's wrap up the show. Quick NBA playoff update. Boston is up 2-0 in the East. Lakers Nuggets tips tomorrow.
No.
Game
Boston
one.
Is not up 2-0.
Of the Western Conference Finals. Huh? What?
Boston is down 2-0.
Oh, sorry. Did I say? Yeah, sorry. Miami is up. I misspoke. Miami is up 2-0 over Boston. Lakers Nuggets tip tomorrow. Thoughts? Comments?
I mean, I think we actually, I guess we were talking about Houston Lakers
last show. We would have been,
I don't know. I'm not super optimistic about the Nuggets, but they did rally back from 2-3-1 deficit.
Yes.
Which to me is just like, why don't you guys get your shit together right a little earlier if you actually want to win
the series? Whatever, like, you did at the end of the series at the beginning of the series and save yourselves a lot of energy.
Yeah, you just fucking tired every round because you have to rally back from a 3-1.
I mean, there could be some, like, why don't you just, there could be some validity there.
Try to win one of the earlier games, you dipshits. Well, it'll make it a lot easier.
The Lakers, the same thing. They keep losing game one and then four in a row. But anyway, not that I'm complaining.
Yeah, well, but
they win.
Four in a row.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then have time to rest.
They're not losing game one and then like games four, five, and six.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. When I saw that the Nuggets beat the Clippers, I was happy. Of the two opponents, I definitely would have preferred the Nuggets.
Yeah, it's weird. The Clippers obviously shit the bed, like just totally gave up at the end of that game. So I mean, Denver. I mean, you're in Denver, or the surrounding areas.
Denver Metro.
It's probably hard to get a real feel in the streets since you're not really out on.
I'm not on those streets, no.
I don't know. If I feel like I'm a little worried that Murray will sort of revert back and not, you know, he's been balling, but he's still young. I was listening to Bill Simmons, and I didn't realize Jokic is like 24. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he came over when he was 18, I think. 18 or 19.
I mean, he looks like he's 34 easily, but.
He does.
When he said he was that young, I was like, oh my God, I did not realize that their core was that young. That's crazy.
That's Serbian life, man. It's rough.
But I mean, Jokic is obviously an amazing passer, just awesome center, which
typical European big guy. Yeah. Can shoot.
I think it'll help that'll help the Nuggets because the Lakers will have to play more of Dwight and JaVale, who are not awesome.
Not perimeter defenders.
Not that Jokic is like a great defender. I mean, I think JaVale will still be able to get his bunnies and like easy dunks and shit, but they'll have to play those guys to defend, which just means they have fewer like
offensive weapons,
players to put on the floor.
Well, but there's been a lot of talk about playing Morris. You know, playing the lineup that they ended up playing against the Rockets that obviously worked at the end, playing Morris at that 4-5 position and not starting JaVale McGee and having Morris and Anthony Davis, who are both decent perimeter defenders, definitely better than McGee or Howard. So I think they'll test it in game one and see what works best because
– I don't know. I mean, if Morris is guarding Jokic, he's just going to fucking torch him though.
But if they kind of have Davis play more of the five and be there as a backup – Morris is a good perimeter defender, you know, so I think that's an option for them.
He's a perimeter defender.
He's better than JaVale McGee on the perimeter is what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting. I guess, I mean, I think obviously LeBron and AD are going to get there. Yeah. So if they get 60, 70 points, like who's getting the rest?
KCP,
Kuzma seems unlikely. What's your white boy?
Caruso, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, I mean,
look, he doesn't put up the stat sheet. He does all the other things. He does the intangibles, and you can't deny that.
Is the rest of the team going to show up and do what they need to do to win?
Probably not in game one.
I feel like LeBron wills an extra. I mean, if playoff Rondo is legit and
love playoff Rondo,
he doesn't break his Achilles or
his hand again,
bone or some weird shit that a weird Rondo injury that always
his happens. Brother doesn't get him in trouble. Did you see that, by the way? Did you watch that? The highlight of that? Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. So in game five, with like 4 minutes to go, the game was essentially over. Houston was down 20. And I watched this game not that long ago. You just see Russell Westbrook after a free throw, like turn and go towards the other side because there's now family and friends in the bubble. And you can have like 30 family or friends per game attend the game. And they're on the opposite
– Per team.
Per team. They're on the opposite
– Not per player.
No. Did I say per player? Whatever. Per team.
No. I was just –
Clarifying. Yes, of course. So they're on the opposite side from where the players are sitting. And they're just fans. They don't ever show them, but they're there. They're sitting there on benches. And so somebody – I think LeBron was shooting free throws. He shoots the first free throw. And then you see Russell Westbrook like turn and start walking towards that sideline. He was like – Yeah, fuck you, motherfucker. You know, typical Russell Westbrook, every other word's a profanity. Come to find out.
Did you hear he said, like, yeah, you better double team
me. Yes. Oh, they showed that slow motion. That was very clear. It's like, bro, you're down 26. Shut the fuck up. Tuck your tail and get the fuck out of here and go home. But anyway, so it turns out it was Rondo's brother talking shit, like going, see you next round or something. I was like, that's fucking beautiful. That's teamwork beyond the team itself. That's the team's family shit to Westbrook, who I hate. Which is why this has got me so worked up.
I can't believe you're endorsing Rondo.
I'm not. I'm endorsing his brother talking shit to Westbrook. I'd endorse the Pope talking shit to Westbrook.
Rondo's basically the Westbrook of the Lakers.
Please. Why would you say that? Last week you were complimenting him. You were saying how once a game there's Rondo? Some play that you're like, where'd that come from? Yeah, Rondo.
Yeah, true. His pass is like...
They're ridiculous.
He does have that vision for the game where you're like, holy shit, I make that pass. I don't know.
I feel like you're just talking shit
I'm not a huge Rondo fan, but it'll be interesting to see how legit Rondo is in the next round.
He'll have a guy to guard. I mean, for sure. He and Murray could go heads up.
He'll have
a guy to guard. He'll have a legit challenge on defense when he's in there.
Yeah, true. I mean, I don't think Rondo's a great defender. I know he's like always touted as that, but I think those days are behind him. But you never know. Yeah. He definitely can dig deep when he needs to, so we'll see.
And we might need that in this next round. That might be all it
I think you will, takes. But I mean, if you don't, then I think the series will be over in like 4 or 5.
If we don't dig deep, you think the
if you don't need Rondo to
play good defense. Yeah, no. It'll be another 4-1. I agree. Yeah, you're probably right about that. And that'd be fine. I'll take a good series too.
You're like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't care. Then we get the. I mean, hell, the East is already 2 games ahead of us. If this continues, Miami might be sitting for a week before they actually start the finals.
That'll be interesting to see the rest versus rust. If that.
Yes.
If Miami's sitting for like 10 days.
For sure. I don't know.
Like if this series goes to 6 or 7, and Miami's done in 4 or 5.
But once it goes back to Boston, they get the home court. I think they'll. They'll pick it up.
that's the issue.
That's the problem, as always. Anyway, so yeah, my picks, obviously, my Eastern Conference pick is out the window. I'll roll with you for the Heat, taking the East, and then obviously I've been with the Lakers the whole time, so we'll see them come through in the West. It sounds like you're reluctantly saying that you probably think the Lakers will win that series as well, so it'll be interesting.
I do, but I'd love to see a Nuggets Heat finals. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, what are the two not least likely, but like not in your top 5 picks for?
Oh, for sure.
What the outcome?
When the playoffs started, no one had that. No one had Heat Nuggets.
I mean, I heard some Heat buzz, but I think everyone was kind of like, "Oh, this would be cool." If this happened. They were not like we legitimately think.
They were selling headlines. They were selling newspapers, which I know is not really a thing anymore. But as they used to say, that's all that was. No one actually believed that. You're correct in assuming that to be the case. So anyway, all right. So let's call it a day. We're 85 minutes in.
Okay.
So again, check out High Score. I'm saying it now for the 5th time on Netflix. Very entertaining.
Scott is a producer of
High Score. I feel like I am at this point. Another sponsor of the show this week was California Pizza Kitchen. We talked about that a long time ago at the beginning of the show during Food Chat, which everyone loves. A little CPK action. Gotta love it. So, yeah, September 17th, 2020, another episode of The Bro Pod in the books. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter, the_bro_pod. Shoot us an email, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. And listen to us wherever you can find podcasts. And we're trying to get that Spotify deal, the Joe Rogan money. So if you guys can kind of pump that up.
How much did he
get? Social media. $200 million? $250 million? Something like that. It was less than Simmons, I think. But he only has the one show. Like Joe Rogan only has his show, so it kind of made sense.
Sure.
There's still a shit ton of money.
He gets more.
Yeah, he gets more. Show. Exactly. But regardless, that's the deal we're looking for. We'll take 10% of it.
We are willing to take 10%? Hell.
1% of 250 million. That is true. We'll take $2.5 million. $1.25 for each of us after taxes, just under $1 million. That would not let me retire just quite yet, but that'd be a nice chunk of change.
If we get that deal, I'll buy a new computer.
No shit. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody.
I'll buy a new computer for me and for the person that signs the deal.
Ooh, now we're talking.
So a little incentive. Anybody
that is true.
I need a new computer. All you have
that's
to
your
do
finder's fee.
$2.5 million.
That's your finder's fee is a new computer with the $900K that Todd is pocketing after taxes. He'll buy you a Chromebook for $250. So if that's
no, I'll buy you whatever computer.
Oh, okay,
you want.
All right.
Not whatever, but I mean
a nice computer
in a $3,000.
Yeah, price. Under $3K. So 0.03% of the $900K is bringing on. I love it. All right. I think this is people are going to be diving all over each other to make this happen. So again, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. Let us know what deals you have, who your super agent is, and we'll make that shit work. So thanks as always for listening. And until next time, everybody.